We're taking your calls right now at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546.
Online tonight. Stop yelling at me!
And now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight, on the air toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Online Tonight. I am Max, and Online Tonight is where we talk about the latest in pop culture, tech news, and more. Plus, we also just throw out some random stuff about cool and interesting stuff that I like. Animals, travel, movies, things like that. If you'd like us to answer your tech questions, or if you have a product that you're considering for the holidays or something that you got that you want to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546 is our toll-free telephone number. We also accept your text and emails. You can text us, 951-395-1017 is our text. And we receive email at show. There's a better way to say that. We receive your email. show@onlinetonight.com is the best way to get us. That way you don't have ats by ats and things like that. So I want to jump in and start with a little bit of video game news. I'm always interested in what's going on with video games. I love a couple different games myself. I'm a huge Disney Infinity fan, and you'll say, yeah, but that was canceled years ago. Yeah, so what? So was Pac-Man, in a way, and Dragon's Lair, and all those retro kind of games. I look at Disney Infinity as a retro game, and I thoroughly enjoy that. So if you have any extra figures that you would like to send my way, I would absolutely love to talk to you about it. But what is current? Current is Microsoft is trying to buy Activision, but the FTC has decided to sue them to make it stop. Apparently, they have plans to buy the company, but the company has got some labor disputes and some harassment and discrimination allegations against them, and they want to, I guess, the government has decided they want all those things to be figured out before they allow them to spend $68 billion on the acquisition. Now, in case you don't know about Blizzard, Activision Blizzard, they own the hugely popular video game Call of Duty and World of Warcraft, two huge titles. So the FTC is also concerned that maybe this will make it a monopoly, or they'll be able to use their competitive advantage to limit who will have access to these franchises. So it's not just about the things going on behind the scenes at Activision. It's also about, hey, can we really count on Microsoft to do the right thing and allow them to buy this and give them a significant market share in the video game business? What's to stop them from not making the product available on PlayStation or Nintendo and only making it available on Xbox or Windows systems? So these are all of the things that the FTC cites as concerns, and they want to make sure that that the end users like us, the gamers out there, are going to have choices and not be limited to a certain platform. And right now, Activision supports a lot of platforms, and they're concerned that maybe that will go away. A game that's getting a lot of publicity lately is the upcoming Cyberpunk 2077. It's going to be released sometime in 2023. And they have this thing called a DLC. In case you don't know what a DLC is, it stands for downloadable content. And the Phantom Liberty is going to be a spy thriller that's going to be a new part of Night City. And the exciting part is that they're introducing a brand new character. It's an FIA agent called Solomon Reed, and it is voiced none other than the talented Idris Elba. And so that DLC will be coming sometime later in, I don't know if it's spring, summer, fall for this DLC, but as we get more information, we'll let you know. It will be the first batch of paid digital downloadable content for Cyberpunk 2077. And there's no idea how much it's going to cost yet, and if it's going to be limited to different platforms. As you know, there have been several mainstream actors already affiliated with this franchise. Keanu Reeves, obviously, is in the Cyberpunk universe and has been for some time. And things like that. So that should be a fun thing to keep an eye on. The director of... a little bit of news from World of Warcraft. One of the directors, what is the name of this director guy's name? Let's see. I don't know that I can necessarily get his last name, even though it seems like it would be in my wheelhouse because it sounds Irish.
Rob McElhenney.
McElhenney, okay.
I know him from Mythic Quest.
Oh, yeah. I love Rob. He plays, what, Ion in that?
Yep.
Yeah. And something I really like, in case you're, if you are a video game fan and you haven't checked out Mythic Quest on Apple TV Plus, that's definitely something to go and check out. But he is working on some portion of World of Warcraft or somehow involved. Do you know more information about it? Because, you know, Blizzard owns World of Warcraft, which is then owned by Activision.
Yes, he owns a production company
called
72 and Sunny Los Angeles, and he they are doing a campaign for World of Warcraft called Sound the Horn. It's a social campaign, and 14 North American and international celebrities are participating in
it. Well, I know some of the celebrities. Some of them I'm big fans of. So these are more like little commercials or vignettes. They're not necessarily creating content for the game, right? They're helping to promote the game. And I think that's the part that I was missing from this production announcement. But Finn, who you know from Stranger Things, Sydney Sweeney, Jimmy Yang, who I love, he was in Silicon Valleys, I believe, and he has a fantastic stand-up special on Netflix, if I remember correctly. And more actors are going to be involved in this Sound the Horn.
I find it interesting that Danny Putty is involved in this because he is the currently the janitor on Mythic Quest.
Well, that's what I was going to say about Rob, is that he has a nice group of people that he can pull from. I'm surprised Danny DeVito isn't in this somehow, because apparently Rob owns a football team, if you're UK, from the UK. In America, we would say a soccer team. Apparently, he co-owns a soccer team with Ryan Reynolds in the UK.
Yes, and they've done a whole show about it.
So it's nice to have friends in the industry. Entertainment business where you can just kind of grab them, and I'm very curious to see what Jimmy does, because I'm a huge fan of Jimmy's work, Yang, and his stand-up. I think he's hilarious and very funny. So you're listening to Online Tonight. Hey, don't forget, you can give us a ring if you have a technical question, a comment, a suggestion, a tip, like you bought a technology device and it's not working the way exactly that you thought it would. Maybe that'll be a nice warning for somebody before the holidays. Feel free to give us a ring. 1-800-39-ONLINE, toll-free telephone number. Text us at 951-395-1017. And email is available, show@onlinetonight.com. We love to hear from you. We love to know what's going on. And don't forget, if you missed any portion of the show, whether it was this week or last week, you can always head over to onlinetonight.com and subscribe to the podcast. Online Tonight, stay tuned. Geek speak. This is where we try to take a tech word or concept and make it into plain English. And this is kind of a combo, because later on in the show, we're going to talk a little bit about some internet speeds and computers a little more in depth. And I thought it would be interesting to just quickly, if you don't already know, you maybe you'll learn something. If you already know it, it might be a good refresher. Computers talk in binary, which is a one or a zero. And if we're only counting individual ones or zeros, those are called bits, B-I-T. And it only has two possible values, a one or a zero. However, when you are dealing with, if you look at your computer and you look at your file and it says that it's 35 megabytes, what does that actually mean? That means that a byte is 8 bits grouped together. This becomes important when you are considering how fast your internet is versus how large the file is that you want to move it. Internet in quotes, like if you have a gig E service or 500 by 500, those are in millions of bits per second, not millions of bytes per second. So if you're trying to figure out how long is it going to take me to move this 35 megabyte file, you got to do some math. And it's the difference is 8. So a bit is a 1 or a 0, and a byte is a collection of 8 ones or zeros. That's how that works. That's this hour's Geek Speak. Online tonight.
This show looks just as good with or without your 3D glasses. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
Earlier, I was talking about video games. I wanted to continue on that just a tiny bit because I have enjoyed watching David Harbour, who is an actor. You know him from Stranger Things, and you also know him from Black Widow. And then he's also in Violent Santa, which happens to be my current favorite movie right now.
Violent Night.
Violent Night. What did I say?
You said Violent Santa.
Well, he is Santa, and he's very violent. So, yes, Violent Night. Thank you for that correction. That is available. Also, we have a like a giveaway that we're giving away. We have a headless cookie and a Violent Night Santa hat that has the logo and blood splatter all over it. And if you make a contribution to my favorite charity, JenniferSmartFoundation.org, and make a $10 or more contribution, we have a couple of those or one or two of those that we can send you as a thank you. So check that out. So why do I bring them up? Well, because earlier in the week, apparently, I don't know what day it was, but he was out there on World of Warcraft. This whole thing that we talked about with all the celebrities working with Rob and his production company to do the sounds of the horn for World of Warcraft, I found it very interesting that David was streaming on Twitch to show off his skills in the space, and I'm always fascinated when I get to watch somebody that I get to watch on television and see how well they do on video games. I don't know, it's just one of my weird things that I like to watch. I also really like it when, like Jordan Fisher as an example, he gets out on Twitch sometimes and he'll do a charity, a thing. So all the money that he raises during that 5-6 hour Twitch session that he does, he donates to charity. So I always find that to be fascinating and cool at the same time. It's fun to watch people that you've enjoyed in certain movies or TV shows and then watch them, play maybe the same kind of video game that you play, which is cool. Last week, I had mentioned to you, I believe it was last week, I had mentioned to you that Elon Musk owns several companies. He owns Tesla. He owns Twitter. He owns Starlink. He owns SpaceX. He owns another company called Neuralink. And they were saying that about 6 months from now, they're going to start human testing with their brain implant chip. I think that's the easiest way to define it. Well, apparently they've run into a snag because they are currently under investigation for being mean to animals. This article comes from The Daily that I saw, and I thought I would share it with you. The brain implant startup is under federal investigation for potential animal welfare violations and complaints from staff that it rushed animal testing, caused unnecessary suffering and death in those animals. So the problems for Elon just do not end. He's taken a lot of darts and arrows and barbs, whatever word you want to use for his changes at Twitter. And he is also now taking some heat for possible animal cruelty at his brain chip implant company.
1,500 animals died.
Yeah, I didn't want to get into the numbers. Somebody's going to do it. I know, I love monkeys, but somebody's going to do an investigation and find out what's going on. But, you know, animal experimentation has been around forever, and we wouldn't have some cancer drugs, and we wouldn't have a lot of things if it wasn't for that. Now, I definitely don't agree with, I don't know how I feel about animal testing in general. I think sometimes it has to be done. I mean, we put dogs and monkeys up into space, and they didn't make it some of the times. But, you know, you got to sometimes – that's a lot of animals, however. Not that any animal should suffer. So I'm going to stop there while I'm not really ahead. I was fascinated. Miss Jennifer, who's my daughter – she went to Japan, and I was fascinated that she went to a couple different cafes, an owl cafe and a cat cafe. These are places where you can order and eat food, and there's animals, in some cases, just roaming around. And I was fascinated to hear that in Albania, they have, or I should say they had, a bear restaurant where you could eat food with a living bear. It's in a cage. But there's a bear right there that you can look at and enjoy. There's a place in Hawaii that I love to go to. And it's called Squirrel Hill Restaurant, I believe. And they have a whole, right behind the bar, they have a giant cage of squirrel monkeys. I don't know if they're still there. If you're in Hawaii and you know if that restaurant's still there, I would love to know if it's around, because I thoroughly enjoyed it. They seem to treat the animals very well, and I think that's very important. Another quick thing that I found is, you know, sometimes even the smallest thing can cause a problem. We talked about the lions getting out in Sydney, Australia. Well, it turns out they crawled under the fence. Do we not check the animal cages to see if there's a hole in the fence? That seems like basic common sense. Online tonight. Stay tuned.
On the air live tonight, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546 is the number.
Online tonight.
Silent but deadly.
What is silent but deadly? Are they talking about my
gas?
Okay. I am Max. Thank you so much for joining us on Online Tonight. Don't forget, you can reach us via text and email. Text address is 951-395-1017. And your emails can be sent to show@onlinetonight.com. The best way, of course, is to reach us via the toll-free telephone number so that we can have a conversation, so that we can have an exchange. And then I don't have to guess or wonder what it is that you are trying to share with me, because sometimes emotion doesn't come through in text or email, and sometimes a joy, you know, maybe you got something and we solved it together and you're happy about it. You know, those sounds of joy are always nice to have, and the best way to do that is with our toll-free telephone number, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. However, Brian decided to what?
Yeah, Brian decided to email us, Brian from Phoenix, because it was shortly after he listened to the show last week, and he didn't want to forget. And
actually, so that's a good point. Don't forget the text messages and email you can send anytime, 24/7, 7 days a week, 300 and however many days there are in a year.
65.
Well, it depends on leap year, right? I didn't want to assume. I don't want to leave anybody out or any day out. I mean, that one day is so lonely. Right? So anyway, the point being that we get those messages all the time, and if we like them, or, you know, we find them interesting, we'll let you know. What's Brian got to say?
Brian says, I tried the watch and mouse hack.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it didn't work.
Why?
I couldn't get the mouse to sit flat on the watch. Is it supposed to be right under the ball part or what?
Under the oh, yeah, I should have probably explained that. All right. So in case you missed this hack, I use it sometimes because I like to walk by to see if my renders are done or my compressor for some of my videos are done, or just to, you know, to see what the statuses of my computer are. I don't like it to go to sleep all the time. And so I trick it by using the watch trick. And what you do is you put an analog watch with a second hand and you put the mouse right on top of it. And the moving second hand tricks the mouse into thinking that it's moving across the table. And when that happens, then the screen will not dim or it will not go into screensaver mode or anything like that. I failed to share with you that this only works on newer mice with an optical sensor. If it has the ball on the bottom, if you turn it over and you look at it and it has a ball on the bottom, or maybe you're using like a Logitech trackball mouse, this is not going to work on those things. This is going to work on an optical mouse. So whether it be the touch mouse from Apple or I have Logitech ones, even the wireless one works. It has... If you turn it over and there's a ball on it, this hack's not going to work. This trick is not going to work. But if it has a little circle and there's a light that appears to come through that, and sometimes it's red or green or blue or just white, and what that is an optical sensor. As you move it across the surface of your desk or your mouse pad, the reflections of the light from the surface come back into a sensor that says, okay, I'm moving at this rate, I'm moving in this direction. It's got some magic in it that I don't understand. But that optical sensor is necessary. So if you have a mouse with a ball, this is not going to work. It only works with mice that have optical sensors, which then also means it doesn't work with trackpads, it doesn't work with trackball mice. I have one from Logitech that has like a little, you know, it looks like a blue marble and buttons on the side. And I spin the ball around. Kind of like, do you remember, did you play video games at the arcade, Miss Victoria? Did you ever go and play Centipede? And if you remember, Centipede had this little round, Missile Command, it had a little round ball. Instead of a joystick, you would spin the ball around to get where you wanted the things to go, and then you would hit the fire button. You ever play those?
I did not play them myself, but I did see them.
You hung out in the arcade? You were an arcade girl?
Not so much, but I had occasion to be in arcades occasionally.
And why is that? Because you wanted to see a boy there?
Because somebody that I was in a relationship with liked playing those games.
Well, I was going to tell you a story that I found interesting, but apparently they've decided to take it off of the internets. But I remember what the story was, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you that the EU has put a deadline finally on when devices have to have USB-C in it. Now, I'm not necessarily going to be able to give you the exact date, but it's basically next year. And so the timing is very interesting because it's like December 20th, 21st, 23rd, whatever. It's towards the end of 2023.
I have the date.
Just throw it out there.
December 28th of 2024.
24. Oh, that gives them even more time. So Apple has said that they are going to move the AirPods, the iPads, the iPhones to meet this new European requirement that all devices have power from USB-C. By the way, there is a weird aside which I thought I would mention very quickly, and the aside is if it uses wireless charging. So, you know, like your iPhone 12, 13, 14, whatever, you can get those wireless charging pads, and you just set the same with the Apple Watch. You can set the device onto this little pad that has coils in it, and the coils will transfer electrical energy into the device, I'll say phone in this case, which then charges up the internal battery, and then it tells you when it's charged, and you just pick it up, and it's ready to go. You don't have to plug in a cable. those are excluded from this requirement. So if it allows wireless charging, which is what a lot of the watches do, I found it interesting that the Fitbit that I have does not have wireless charging. It has contacts. But the Apple Watch, Samsung, Google, those all have the ability to wireless charge. Samsung phones, iPhones all have wireless charging. If it requires you to plug something in, the EU has said it now must be USB-C. And by the time we get to the iPhone 16 or possibly the 17, Apple will have to change, if they even still have a port on it, Apple will have to change the Lightning connector to a USB-C. And that date, as Ms. Victoria very kindly found for us, is December 28th of 2024. So we have several revisions or evolutions of phones and devices to come between now and then, until we all have to go to USB-C, at least in the EU. Thank you for that. Five reasons that you might consider, speaking of iPhones, five reasons that you might consider upgrading to iOS 16.2, which I believe came out I don't even think it's out yet. I think it comes out on Monday or Tuesday. So what Apple does is they have a developer program, and then they put out developer releases. Then they have what's called a released candidate. In the old days, we used to call it the gold version, where they would say, okay, this is probably the one we're going to give out to the public, unless you find like a showstopper. And a showstopper means a bug that is so bad that we have to not send it out. But it looks like iOS 16.2 for the iPhone, the iPad, and possibly a Apple TV will be available next week, probably on either Monday or Tuesday at the latest, Wednesday at the latest. There are five, according to this article, which I found interesting from Macworld, there are five reasons why you might want to upgrade right away to iOS 16.2. I had a lot of trouble, by the way, with my update to 16.1. And so I'm a little hesitant right now. But if you are a huge fan of karaoke, Apple Music Sing will be launched as part of 16.2, so you might be interested in checking that out. There is a whole new feature for home automation. The Home app and HomeKit will be faster and much more reliable. They are, and I believe they're adding, if they haven't already, Thread support. So check that out. Of course, one of the big features is this really cool lock screen. There's going to be more widgets. There's going to be more ways that you can play with those. They kill your battery, so I don't recommend them. But if you're into those, that's fine. You're going to be able to follow live sports through the new live activities widget that you can put on your home screen if you're so inclined. And don't forget that SOS satellite emergency services will also be available, at least in the U.S., for 16.2 users on their iPhones. So if those features are important to you, that's five reasons why you might want to update as quickly as you can. Now, Apple announced that they are going to start adding, they've had this already for a little bit of, for some of their products, but they're adding it to more products, and the government is not necessarily happy about it. What am I talking about? I am talking about Apple's end-to-end encryption technology for iCloud. They are adding it to backups, photos, messages, and this is where the government has a big problem, and more. What does this extra feature, or what Apple calls the advanced data protection feature, actually do? Well, when you have encryption, you have these things called keys. You have your key on your end, and you have another key on the other end, and they talk to each other to say, yes, this is the intended party that I would like to speak with. Then it jumbles up all the messages, and the keys on each end then de-encrypt the information so that you can view it. The government does not want that to happen with iMessages, because for protests or gatherings or mischief, you know, they want to be able to see that. What used to happen is that your keys would be stored at iCloud, inside iCloud, but if you turn on advanced data protection, the iCloud keys are taken down, and they only live on the client ends. And this can cause a problem for the government. They're not too happy about it, but Apple's doing it anyway. Let us know your thoughts. Online tonight. Stay tuned. Bookmark this. This is the portion of the show where we chat with you about something that you might find interesting to bookmark on the internet. And at this time of year, I find that I like to cook and bake and make things, but I always seem to be out of something. And I'm hesitant to just run out to the store. So I found this really great website that has helped me. And one of them I found I knew about because my mom used to do it all the time. The website is foodnetwork.com/recipes/ingredient-substitution-guide. Of course, I'm going to put that at onlinetonight.com in the show notes for today's show, so be sure to check for that. But there are some really interesting things. Like, I did not realize that you could make your own apple cider vinegar. I didn't know you could make your own balsamic vinegar. Breadcrumbs seemed easy enough for me, and brown sugar. You can even change light and dark brown sugar. This is the one my mom always used that I found super interesting, and that is baking powder, not to be confused with baking soda. Baking powder, if you need 1 teaspoon of baking powder for your recipe, you can take 1/2 teaspoon of cream of tartar and 1/4 teaspoon of baking soda, and that will make your baking powder. Now, if you do the math, 1/2 teaspoon and 1/4 teaspoon does not equal 1 teaspoon. That's only 3/4 teaspoon, and yet it has the same power, let's say. Baking soda, I had not heard this one. For 1 teaspoon of baking soda, you can use 3 teaspoons of baking powder. I don't recommend that, because that seems wrong to me. Flour, I'm always interested in flour because I like to make pizza. I like to make, muffins or different kind of cookies. All-purpose flour. Sometimes it says all-purpose flour. What do you need for that? You need 1/2 cup of bread. For every cup of all-purpose flour, you need 1/2 cup of bread flour and 1/2 cup of cake flour. In that particular case, I probably don't have bread flour in my house, and I probably don't have cake flour in my house, so I'm going to run to the store and get some all-purpose flour. But there are hundreds, well, maybe not hundreds, there are tons of substitutions so that you don't have to run to the store, and all of that is found in our bookmark this at foodnetwork.com/recipe/ingredients-substitution-guide. That's this hour's bookmark this. Don't forget, we'll put it up on the show notes so that you don't have to remember any of those words and letters.
If redness, swelling, or irritation occurs, increase your listening time by 1 hour per day. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
All right, talking about all those substitutions made me hungry. And I thought it would be interesting to talk to you a little bit. I'm going to flip these around because I think that would be best. McDonald's. I don't know if you know. I didn't know this, really. I have a lot of friends who eat way more McDonald's than they should. And I knew that, like, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and Donald Trump and all those people were very familiar and lovers of McDonald's. What I did not know is that they have something called the McDonald's Gold Card. Apparently, even actor Rob Lowe has this thing. And what it is it allows you to go into a McDonald's and get free food. So you don't have to pay. It's kind of like a coupon, a never-expiring, zero-cost-to-you coupon. And some of these names that I mentioned have it. And if you would like to get your very own, all you have to do starting this month is go to McDonald's, but you need to use the McDonald's app first, and you have to spend at least a dollar, which I don't know that you can buy anything at McDonald's through the app for less than a dollar. I know that you can, you know, you buy the, you get the large fry special for a dollar, or you can get free chicken nuggets if the Dodgers, it's not even baseball season, but if the Dodgers get a double or something, you get free chicken nuggets. There's always some promotion, at least in our area. But if you spend $1 or more through the McDonald's app, and that works on both Android and iOS, you will automatically be entered to win a McGold card. And what makes that special is that you are going to get free food for 50 years. Now, there's a tiny catch. You're only allowed to get 2 free meals a week. I believe that Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and Rob Lowe, they don't have any restrictions. I believe they could go to McDonald's every meal of every day for their entire lives, and they would get it for no cost. But the card that they're giving you, the McGold card that they're giving you as part of this contest, is good for 50 years, and you can get 2 free meals a week. So if that's something of interest to you, the next time you go to McDonald's, make sure that you use the app to make your purchase, and you'll automatically be entered to win. More about McDonald's. I find it interesting that I think part of this is because of the cost of minimum wage, at least in our state and some of the counties in our state that we're in, the cost is too high. And so companies like Wendy's and McDonald's and others are creating intelligent drive-through and intelligent checkout systems. McDonald's is in Texas testing out this new drive-through where you order through the app, you scan a code when you go there, and then a conveyor belt brings your food to the window. The only downside I have for this is sometimes my order's not right. Hey, where's my sweet and sour sauce? Hey, can I get 2 extra packets of ketchup? And who am I going to talk to? The conveyor belt? Conveyor belt doesn't understand English. So I still like to have some personal interaction so that I know that I can be taken care of if things aren't right. Because sometimes when people put things in the bag, they don't get it right. Let us know what your experience is. Drop us a note, 1-800-39-ONLINE. I'm Max, online tonight. Stay tuned.
For the phone number, it's 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546.
Online tonight.
Sir, one more outburst, I will strangle you with my microphone wire. You understand me?
And now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight, on the air toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
Thank you so much for joining me this week on Online Tonight. My name is Max, and don't forget you can give us a ring, 1-800-39-ONLINE, toll-free. We here at Online Tonight love to talk to you about technology, pop culture, cool stuff, tech gadgets, movies, animals, whatever you're into. If you'd like us to tackle your question, or you have something you want to share that might help benefit our listeners about what they might want to get in the holidays, maybe you bought something recently and it really did not match what you thought you were getting. We love to hear those stories as well, and you can call us 1-800-39-ONLINE toll-free. Don't forget, text and email also work. Those work all the time. So even if we're not on the air, you can call, you can contact us through the text and the email. Our text is 951-395-1017, 951-395-1017, and email, our email address, show@onlinetonight.com. Some things I like to do is, I used to hate history as a kid when I was in high school, but now I kind of enjoy history. I found this interesting. On December 11th, 2008, Google released its first copy of Chrome. So happy birthday to Chrome. That makes them like, what, 15 years old? So they're enjoying their teenage years. So that's a nice thing. I'll have more on this date in history probably a little bit later in the show. But sticking to Chrome, I found this interesting because I have a big complaint about one of my coworkers. One of my coworkers doesn't change their password as often as they probably should. I am winking in your general direction, Mr. Stewart. Does not change their password very often, and that could be a security risk. Well, Google Chrome is now supporting passkeys, and we could spend a really long time on what passkeys are, but I'm going to try to simplify it for you very quickly. If you go to a website, say a bank, or you go to log into your Google account or your iCloud account or whatever, you type in your name, you type in a password, hopefully it's a nice long password, and it's unique to that website, and then you hope everything goes well, right? Some places have added these two-step authentication where when you log in, it then buzzes your phone with a special number, and then you type in that number. Passkeys makes all of this go away. What happens with passkeys is there's really not a concept of passwords anymore. You are an authorized user of the website, and as part of the negotiations with logging into the website, it talks to your device, whether it be your Chrome browser on your phone, on your Mac, on your Windows desktop, or your Chromebook. And it says, are you who you say you are? And it does some math, and it compares it to a signature, or what they call a token, that is saved on your device. And using magic math, it says, ah, yes, you are who you say you are, because only you should have this token. And then it lets you in. And this math is generated every time you log in, which means, in a way, that the password would be different every time you try to log in, because it's not really using a password. It's using this magic math to say, right now, at this moment, are you holding on to your token, which only you should have? And if so, I'm going to let you through. So that's pretty neat. And it stores it on the device or in your Google password account manager. So that's a lot of fun. This actually concerned me a little bit. Chrome is getting an update where it will use less memory and it goes into a energy saver mode. Now, sometimes I will have a bunch of tabs open, and one of those tabs might be uploading the show so that you can get the podcast or an affiliate wants a replay or whatever. This is going on in a tab that I don't have open at the moment. It's in the background. Well, the new technology that Chrome is talking about is it's going to use 40% less memory, and it's going to basically turn off the other tabs that are in the background to save power so that we're not using up, you know, so much electricity and we don't have to, you know, burn more coal or fire up another nuclear plant, or maybe it's in the middle of the night and the solar panels aren't working. So they want to save energy, and one of the ways they do that is to basically disable the tabs that you have open because they assume that you're not using them. And the thing I found in the testing that I saw is that when you then go to that tab, it does a reload. Well, as I mentioned in last hour, I had a website that took the dates down of something that the EU had done, and I had that open in a tab, and then when I went back to it and it reloaded, it said this content's no longer available. So you don't even get to see what you had previously on a reload necessarily. So I hope that Google is smart enough to disable that feature so that I don't lose content that I have. Sometimes I like to open a bunch of tabs and then turn off my Wi-Fi or disconnect from my network so that I can read these things later. That probably would still work because, if it tries to reload, then I'm going to get a server not available error. Huh, more things to test and check out. Hopefully it's something I can turn off. I mentioned that I like history now, so here's a couple things that were interesting in this day in entertainment history. I love movies, TV shows, things like that. I'm a huge fan of of Back to the Future. I love that car. My neighbor let me drive his DeLorean once, and I was ecstatic. But another car that I like is the Ferrari that Magnum P.I. used. And in 1980, Magnum P.I. premiered on CBS television. 1985, GE, General Electric, acquired RCA and therefore NBC. So RCA and NBC had merged, I believe, in the late 70s. Don't quote me on that. And then GE acquired RCA, who happened to own NBC at the time. In 1991, Robin Williams as Hook premiered in theaters. In 2015, Playboy published its last nude issue. Pamela Anderson was on the cover. I don't think that's true, by the way. I think that Playboy maybe in 2020 or 2021 might have had another artistic spread. Let's call it that way. It's not really a book or a magazine that I ever really looked at. Some people, I like to stay out of politics, but I have some friends that have some ink, let's say. And some people have said that Kanye West, or Ye, has gone off the rails. I don't know. I don't really follow him. But a London-based tattoo studio that specializes in tattoo removal has announced that if you have a Ye or a Kanye West tattoo and you would like it to be removed, then you can just pop in and they will remove it for you or cover it up. So that, you know, that might be worthwhile for you if you feel the need to do that. I think if you have a tattoo, you should have to deal with the consequences, and that is, it's on you forever. Stay tuned. Well, that was fun. I guess I hit the wrong button. Welcome to this hour's Geek Speak, where we try to take a technical concept and turn it into plain English. This hour, MBPS, or megabits per second. Now, if you are looking at transfer speeds or internet connections or how fast your phone is, you'll see these numbers quoted in millibits per, or megabits per second. What does that mean? The M stands for million. So 1 million ones or zeros. That's what the B stands for. Remember we talked about bits versus bytes? This is a small b, which means a one or a zero. So 1 million one or zeros are sent through this connection every second. Per second. So megabits. Megabits per second are not the same thing as megabytes per second. So just remember that. If it's a small b, it's megabits per second. That's this hour's Geek Speak. Online tonight.
Listen, rinse, repeat. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
Don't forget, you can give us a call, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. If you have a technical question or you have a product or service that you recently got and you have some tips or some concerns about it, we'd love to hear about those as well. You can text us, 951-395-1017, and email, of course, show@onlinetonight.com. We have a text message from Texas.
We do. It's kind of funny. It comes from somebody named Austin, who lives in Dallas, Texas. He says,
is he real?
Or they. My internet bill just shot up, so I guess my promotion with my provider has ended. How do I get the promotion they're advertising for new users? Should I change providers just to get a better deal?
Okay, so if you're in Dallas, you're probably on AT&T. Formerly SBC or Southwestern Bell. And they, you know, they do a 2-year term. They do things like that. So my suggestion would be, did you say change providers to get a better deal? Well, of course. I mean, if you look around and you see that there's someone, maybe a cable TV operator or maybe Google's 10 gig service is available in your area, sure, have a look around. But don't just cancel, because that can be bad. And I'll give you an example. My dad recently canceled his Fios service in Southern California, and then he went to another provider, didn't like it, and tried to go back and found out that Frontier, who runs the Fios service on the West Coast, they bought it from Verizon, no longer offers television service to new customers. So he had no TV. Prior to that, he had a bundle where he had internet, a phone, and maybe we'll talk about landline phones later, and TV. But Frontier no longer offers TV because Frontier went bankrupt, and as part of their bankruptcy, they lost their television franchise rights, apparently. So don't cancel right away. I would say give them a call. That's what we've done many, many times over the years. We recently called our carrier and said, why am I paying $99 a month for 500 meg internet when I just got a card in the mail that said I could get Gig E for $74? That doesn't make any sense. So we talked to them, and they said, oh, you know, that promo's only for new customers that sign up for a 1 or 2 year term. And we threatened to cancel. And they said, oh, we don't want to lose you. Hold on. Let's see what we can do. And they went back and they found that, oh, they would be happy to sign us up for a better, I don't know that it was exactly the same as the promo, but it was so close that a couple dollars here or there didn't make any difference. And we ended up getting twice as much speed for $20 less a month or something like that. So that was definitely worthwhile. And don't forget, when you're talking to your carrier, maybe you only had internet and television, or maybe you only had television, or maybe you only had television and phone. Sometimes you can save money with their bundles. So ask about the bundle while you're there. If I add a phone line, am I going to get any kind of reduction in cost? Because what I'm always trying to find is the best value for my dollar, right? So if I can get a Gig E and a phone line for the same amount of money or less money that I'm currently spending, then why would I not want to do that?
And also, don't forget to ask about discounts for things like paperless bills and automatic payments.
Because I think that will bring
your bill down. It could be $15 a month that you get, that you save.
Well, I think like Dish Network and DirecTV and some of these other suppliers, if you go paperless, I think that's one of the reasons they call it, or you, that's the digital bill, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you put a credit card on file so that they can just charge you every month, I believe like Dish Network, you save $8 a month or something by going paperless and having a credit card on file. So yeah, definitely look at that. But you know, these carriers do not want to lose you. And so you can threaten to cancel, but don't be an Alex. Don't be my dad, as an example, and cancel before you have all the information, because in most cases, they don't want to lose you. However, I got a quick aside story. I used to work at AT&T, and I helped them build the Singular Network that later became AT&T Wireless. And I had been a loyal customer for 15 years. And I went back to them one day, and I said, hey, you know, I've been with you for a really long time, and I'm paying way too much. And they said, oh, well, we don't care. You can either take it or leave it. And I left, and I have been very happy that I did. This is not a sponsored thing, and I'm not recommending that you go with T-Mobile, which is where I ended up. But for me, I left AT&T. I saved a bunch of money because I had 4 lines as part of a company plan. And I went to T-Mobile. I got, for myself, I got better service in most of my coverage area that I travel to. In addition, I got Netflix and Apple TV, and I'm not sure what some of the other benefits are.
Paramount Plus.
And every Tuesday with the T-Mobile app, I pop in to see what freebies or contests I can join. I get red boxes for free. I get free donuts. So things like that. You know, it doesn't hurt to look around. So hopefully Austin there in Texas, that might have helped you. Next time, if you want to give us a call, we can maybe chat a little bit better, because I'm interested to know if you're already on AT&T and if Google Fios or Google Fiber is available in your area, because sometimes it might be. Give us a call, 1-800-39-ONLINE. That way we can chat a little more effectively. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-39-ONLINE. Online tonight. Stay tuned.
Online Tonight is live and on the air at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546.
Online Tonight. I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
If at first you don't succeed, destroy all evidence that you tried. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
Again, thank you for joining us this week on Online Tonight. Greatly appreciate it. The future is now. This is my Future is Now segment. I always try to see what is coming up and is it going to kill us all? And one of the biggest fears, of course, is AI or artificial intelligence. Well, Meta did not have the best week. Meta, formerly Facebook, has shut down their scientific AI after they fed it over 48 million science papers, journals, notebooks, etc. And they use that to kind of train it. And then they go in and they ask it questions to see what did you learn and how did it do. The name of this AI is called Galactica, and it's supposed to help organize science. But instead, when they asked questions, it spewed a bunch of nonsense. So after about 2 days, they have decided to turn it off. It took them about, I don't know, like 12 months to train this thing with over 100,000 papers that were published on COVID and a bunch of other stuff. In theory, Galactica should have been able to consolidate and make things a little more organized so that if you asked it a question, it could really look into all of these different papers and all that stuff, but instead, it spewed out some nonsense. Here's an example of one of the things that it had to say. Let me see if I still have that information. Okay, so after it looked at all 48 million of these papers and things like that, a hardball scientific question, that's the term that they used over at, what was this from, CNET? Yeah. The question that was asked is, do vaccines cause autism? And the response from Galactica, the AI system that Meta had created, was, to explain, the answer is no, vaccines do not cause autism. The answer is yes, vaccines do cause autism. The answer is no. Okay. Well, if we do what I call democratic checking, that's three no's and one yes. So in some case, that would be, no, that's only two no's and one yes. But anyway, the no's would have it won. But can you trust any of that information? And the answer is no, which is why they've decided to take it down. And of course, they very quickly distanced themselves from it by saying, oh, it was just a trial and a test and things like that. So they had to... they had to figure something else out. I was going to share with you about an AI that knows how to write software code, but as we talked before, sometimes Google wants to reload and the page has been moved or taken away, but I found it. DeepMind's AlphaCode outperforms many human programmers in tricky software challenges, according to Science Magazine. There's a new AI out there, especially with the global shortage of people who are programmers. You know, if you are interested in a good tech job, learning programming is fantastic. You can start with things like Swift from Apple, or what is the one that we were using? Python scripting languages. Of course, you can use some of the deeper ones like C, C++, Objective-C, things like that. But a system called AlphaCode is getting us one step closer to making it possible to outline a problem, and then it creates the software code to make that problem easier to handle. I'm sure there's a lot of more technical information, and I don't want to get into coding, but when presented with a fresh problem, it will generate code solutions in either Python or C++, and it then can kind of test its own code to see which ones are reliable or possibly bad, and if it's bad, it will throw those ones out. So that's pretty neat. This kind of concerns me. We talked a little bit about San Francisco and how they were adding police drones to the city streets. They didn't actually fire bullets, but they had some kind of explosive charge on them to help either disperse or deal with something like that. So I was very interested when I saw this article where the U.S. Forest Service, there's been a lot of wildfires. There's been some in California and Nebraska and Colorado and all these things. And one of the things is because we don't tend to clear our forests very well. We have built houses so close to these areas that nature can't really take its own course. I don't know how many of you know, but one of the main causes of forest fires are lightning strikes. And believe it or not, the forests rely on these types of clearings so that they can regenerate and restart and all these things. But when you have humans and you have other things right near these forests, these wildfires can be devastating. So one technique that they're now using is they're flying drones over certain sections of forests, and they're dropping fireballs, little orbs that when they hit the ground will catch on fire and quote unquote create a controlled burn so that they can thin out these forests and make it less dangerous for the forests themselves and the humans around them. So if you like drones, they're not just for package delivery anymore. They can also be used to purposely and hopefully controlled start a wildfire. I found this to be super interesting because I'm always on the lookout for different headphones or earbuds or things like that. And I never expected the Dyson company, who is well known for vacuums. They also have these hand dryers that you might find in some high-end malls or maybe your office building. If it has these no-touch hand dryers, it's like a gray color and it has this little yellow ribbon, and you jam your hands in there and it's supposed to dry your hands more effectively because it doesn't splash the dirt off of your hands all over the room. It hopefully will contain it within its little cylinder that you put your hands in. So I was kind of surprised to see the Dyson Zone is a new combination headphone and air filter. It kind of looks like a motorcycle helmet without the back of it and the visor. It has a headband like most over-the-head headphones have. And then it has this kind of little mouth guard that goes across your nose and your mouth. I wonder if there's a microphone in there. I don't know. But it filters out the air so that you can breathe. I'm curious who the market is. Is there a bunch of gamers who are playing in the middle of a warehouse while they're shoveling coal or something? How dirty are our houses? And shouldn't we have like a house thing, like a HEPA filter that as part of our AVAC or whatever? I'm not really sure why we need this, but it's an interesting combination of technologies together. And I thought, you know, that was kind of interesting. If you're worried about breathing in your own room, then you might want to look at the new Dyson headphone air filter. We talk a lot about the metaverse and what we talked a week or two ago about how you could join your friends in a virtual concert starring B.I.G., Notorious B.I.G., who's a rapper who passed away. Well, who's no longer with us. So we'll put it that way. Well, now you can check out the Mariah Carey Holiday Metaverse, which also includes a virtual store. You can buy things from this store, and I don't really know what kinds of exclusive items that they're talking about. They're talking about like power-ups, but doesn't it depend on what game you're playing in the virtual space? So I'm not really sure how many of these power-ups are going to apply to you necessarily. I mean, I feel like I would want to buy a poster to put in my virtual studio, or maybe buy some of her music or videos. Or what was the movie that Mariah was in that was not well received, like Giggles or Jiggles, or do you remember Sparkles? Do you remember what?
I want to say Glitter, but I'm not sure.
Okay. So, but I mean, the thing that would be more interesting to me, of course, is that for four consecutive nights, Mariah Carey will be doing a virtual performance inside the metaverse on December 21st through the 24th, and that's 7 p.m. Eastern time. So, also, apparently, CBS will be airing the upcoming concert that she's going to be doing live from Madison Square Gardens. And I believe that is a two-hour thing that will be on the 20th, if I recall correctly. So that that might be fun for you to join in if you are a fan of the metaverse. I talked a little bit about her collection and how I don't quite understand it. This one makes a little bit more sense to me, and that is Forever 21. And if you have a teenager or a young adult, you probably know this brand because they are a fashion brand. They're in a lot of malls. They're in a lot of places where you can go in and shop and get the latest in pants and shirts and blouses and things like that. Forever 21 has now released a virtual store inside of Roblox, which is a game system. It's not really virtual reality, but you can now buy things like a beanie and some other merchandise in a digital way. So Winnie Park, who is the CEO of Forever 21, says our initial goal with Shop City is to expand how we engage with our customers and to make our products accessible to all. So there you go. Now you can dress up your avatar in any fashion that you want to. Feel free to give us a call. Let us know what you think. 1-800-39-ONLINE. Or send us an email, show@onlinetonight.com. Stay tuned. Bookmark This, where we take a website that might benefit you in some way. And earlier we talked about megabits per second. So if you want to know how fast your internet is, whether it be on your phone, on your desktop, or for your streaming device, whether you have a Google Chrome or a Roku stick or anything like that, how fast is your data coming in? You can head over to speedtest.net. And it will tell you what your upload and download speeds are. And for fun, I always like to do this. I am not a gigantic fan of wireless anything, whether it be Wi-Fi or cellular or anything like that. I prefer to plug in wired when I can. I built a lot of networks in my past, and I like wire because wire is less susceptible to intrusion. It's less susceptible to interference. And you're going to get the best possible speed out of those wires than you are over radio waves, over the air, the invisible over the air. And one way to test that is speedtest.net. I check it on my laptop when it's wired. I check it with my laptop when I'm on Wi-Fi. And then I check it as well on my phones. So whether it be my Samsung phone or my iPhone, I want to know at this particular location, at this particular moment, do I have enough bandwidth to do what I want to do, which might be to play a game or to stream some kind of content. And the best way to find out how fast your connection is head over to our bookmark this at speedtest.net. Online tonight.
Genetically modifying turkeys so they have five drumsticks. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
I don't know why everything is making me hungry today, and here we're talking about turkeys. Ugh. I wonder if the turkey is considered any kind of cultural... I wonder who would claim a turkey as a cultural representation of their society. I found this. This is more like a pop culture travel kind of thing. I found that there is an organization called UNESCO, UNESCO, and it is a organization that lists certain foods and culinary cultures on a list so that there's some kind of history is preserved. And this may or may not be related to, like, say, Champagne or Parmigiano Reggiano, which you can't call something from, you can't call something Champagne if it doesn't, if the grapes don't originate from the Champagne area of Italy or whatever country it is. And same with Parmigiano Reggiano cheese. That is government regulated. You can't call it that, even if it's the exact same ingredients and the same way that you dry it in the racks. But if it doesn't come from this particular area, you can't call it that. Some of the other things on the UNESCO list are Bulgarian beer and Arabic.
So first of all, it's Belgian beer.
Belgian beer, Arabic coffee,
Arabic
coffee. Okay, so some of those things are on there.
Or Arabic. Most people would say Arabic.
All right, Mediterranean diet. Those types of things are listed in the UNESCO list of cultural heritage.
Kimchi.
And it took six. What?
Kimchi is on there.
Okay, took 6 years for France to get all of the documentation to get their favorite bread, baguettes, listed with this organization. So
as an intangible cultural heritage.
Yeah, whatever that means.
I can tell you their definition. Traditions or living expressions inherited from our ancestors and passed on to our descendants. And part of the problem was that the art of making baguettes, like it's a specific, almost a technology or a science, mm-hmm, to make a baguette the way it is, like the chewiness and the crispiness of the crust and all that. And so that technique is actually being lost, and not very many people know how to make them the original way. And so that's why they've added this protection, because they want to encourage people to return to the original recipe.
So you're telling me that if I go to a fantastic deli in LA or New York or Chicago or wherever, that I'm not going to get a baguette, even though they're calling it a baguette, because they're not using the traditional methods? I mean, doesn't this kind of go back to San Francisco and
the sourdough
bread? Are they on this list? I don't know. Should they be on this list? Should food even be on this list? I understand that this quality, this desire to have quality and to not be able to call certain things almost like a trademark or a copyright when it comes to champagne. I understand that. Does this affect my local bakery from making baguettes now, or they're not going to be allowed to call it that, or they can't call it that if they don't go through the traditional steps?
Apparently there are different types of baguettes, but the best ones are known as baguettes de tradition.
Sure.
Or simply known as traditions. And they only include four ingredients: flour, water, salt, and yeast. And they must be baked on site where you're buying them.
Okay. I mean, I had a friend who used to work in a bagel shop, and every morning somebody had to come in and bless the bagels. So what I'm saying is, why bother being on this list if it's not going to change the way everyone else makes and sells baguettes. That's really my only complaint. Online Tonight, if you've missed any portion of the show, don't forget you can head over to onlinetonight.com where we put the bookmark this and a little rundown of everything that we talk each hour. And, of course, you can subscribe and download the podcast. And when we're off the air, you can send us a text, 951-395-1017, or an email, show@onlinetonight.com. We'd love to hear from you. Head over to the website. Stay tuned.
Taking your calls right now at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546.
Online Tonight.
I like the way this man thinks.
And now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight. On the air, toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
Welcome into Online Tonight. My name is Max, and this is the show where we talk about pop culture, tech news, and some random stuff. I love animals and food and travel, and I love to hear about the things that you've bought and what you think of them to help advise other people. So if you have a gadget or a video game or anything like that and you want to share, feel free to let us know. We take your questions and comments on our toll-free telephone number, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And that works during the show. We'd love to talk to you that way because that way we can have a dialogue and go back and forth. But if you would like to send us a text or an email, and those work every hour, every other day of the week, you can text us 951-395-1017. Again, 951-395-1017. And, of course, email show@onlinetonight.com. We recommend those methods as opposed to using the contact form on the Online Tonight website because these goes directly to the show team. I always find it towards the end of the year, there's always some fun little list about things. Like every year we do our favorite movies on a movie show that we do. And we love to share with you all of the movies that we saw and what our most favorite or most watched movie was. Other companies do the same thing. YouTube usually has their year-end. Google releases their most searched term. And I found it interesting that this year in the United States and globally, the most searched word on Google was Wordle, which makes me think there's a bunch of cheaters out there. Because the only time I ever Google that word is when I'm stumped and I'm trying to figure out what the word might be. Miss Victoria is a very big Wordle fan.
Yes, I
every
am.
Day you do your Wordle.
I do.
How often have you Googled the word Wordle?
If I accidentally close the tab on my phone that has Wordle on it, it doesn't come up right away. Like when I start to type the word Wordle, I end up Googling it.
But you don't use it to cheat?
No.
Okay. How many people do you think do it to try to solve it quickly?
I don't know. Because I don't think you have to use the word Wordle to get hints. You just search for a five-letter word with whatever in it. You don't have to use the word Wordle in your search.
All right.
You could be searching for some other purpose too, like a crossword puzzle.
And Wordle is now owned by who? The Wall Street Journal?
The
New York Times. All right. So that's pretty fun. Another thing that happens every year is the dictionary companies try to figure out what was the word of the year. And Webster had their announcement not too long ago, and Oxford did not want to be left out, so they have announced their 2022 Oxford Word of the Year. And it's not a word. It's a combination of words, and it's goblin mode. And for the life of me, I cannot find a definition for goblin mode.
I had never heard of this until I saw this article.
Is this a video game reference, or?
No. It means unapologetically self-indulgent, lazy, slovenly, or greedy, typically in a way that rejects social norms or expectations.
Okay. Well,
it's the opposite of trying to better yourself.
But what if being more greedy to get more things is a way of bettering it? It's all based on perspective, right? Because, I mean, some people would think that getting more is better for them.
Yeah, but they're talking about people who don't leave their houses and just have piles of stuff around them and don't throw out their trash and basically live in, you know, bad conditions, but not because they have to, because they choose to.
I found this other thing pretty interesting because my heritage is I'm British and I was born in America. So I have mostly lived my life in America. And so when I share my age with you, it's the number of birthdays that I've had since the day that I was born. And I thought that was like the norm. But apparently in South Korea, you are 1 year old when you exit your mother on your birthday, on your first birthday. On your first birthday, you are one. And depending on when you were born, they even backdate you the 9 months to conception. And in some cases, you might be born and you might be two. A new law was passed in South. Go ahead.
You said that in a confusing way because you said you're 1 year old on your first birthday.
No, when you're born, when you come out of your mother's womb at the hospital.
On your day of birth.
I was trying to be sensitive. But when you exit your mother and breathe air for the first time, you are 1 or 2 years old in South Korea, except starting now. A new law was passed in South Korea on Thursday that aims to standardize on how the age is calculated in their country. They now have this, and they may actually go back and change people's information. One of the most famous people from South Korea is Psy. You probably know him from Gangnam Style, and I Got It From My Father, and so many of his dance songs. But apparently he is, you know, XYZ old, but because of this new law, he's going to be 44 now instead of 45 or 46, depending on, how it was calculated back then. So they're trying to kind of get more into the global, when something norm, like the global norm, like you...
Yeah.
The birth dates are calculated on your 1 year anniversary from when you take your first breath.
The thing that's confusing about this is there were actually like three different ways that you could have an age there. There was the one that where you're 1 year old when you're born. Then there was the one where you're 1 year old on January 1st after you're born. And then there's the one that the rest of us use, which they call their international age, because anytime people had to deal with traveling outside of South Korea, they had to use the day of their birth.
But here, the more important thing is, why is this really important? And it has a lot to do with when you go to another country, how are you of legal age to drink? Are you of legal age to smoke? Are you of legal age to join the military? Are you of legal age to rent a car? Exactly. So all of these things. And so they're trying to standardize this with a new law passed in South Korea on Thursday to make the use of the international age across all the jurisdictions and administrative areas of the government so that you can represent your age regardless of where you are in the world. And I think that's probably... I was surprised that this wasn't a standard. But then I'm not surprised by half of the things that happen over there because they don't even use the same time zone. Online Tonight, stay tuned. Geek Speak. Geek Speak is where we try to take a tech word and make it into plain English. And this one frustrated me recently, so I thought I would share it with you. In the car technology realm, there is something called the DRL, or daytime running lights. They are low energy lights that switch on automatically when the car is on. And they run during the daytime, so they're not as bright as your headlights, but they help people see you on the road as just another way of making you more visible to traffic, oncoming traffic or nearby traffic. I have a quick tip. If you take your car into service, they sometimes will turn your car lights to off from automatic. And lately, especially since daylight savings time came by, at least in my area when it starts to get dark a little bit earlier, people are running around with no headlights on. And I think part of that is because they don't have the switch to automatic. It all depends on what year your car is. If you have a 1980 DeLorean, as an example, you don't have any of these things. You could just turn your headlights on during the day to act as your DRL or daytime running lights. But if you take it in for service, whether it's your local oil change or your dealer, always make sure that your lights are back onto auto. And then the daylight nighttime sensor will be enabled and your DRL or daytime running lights will be on and your normal headlights will be on when appropriate. That's this hour's Geek Speak.
.357 Magnum, the original point-and-click interface. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
Again, thank you so much for joining us this week on Online Tonight. My name is Max, and we'd love to hear from you, whether it be email, text, or call us. 1-800-39-ONLINE is our toll-free telephone number, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. You can also send us a text, 951-395-1017, or email us show@onlinetonight.com. Again, show@onlinetonight.com. We have an email from
Barb in New Hampshire, where it's very cold right now and seems to get dark earlier and earlier, which is true. We're almost to our shortest day of the year. Barb says, my power went out during a storm recently and my landline phone didn't work. Why?
Ah, okay.
Now, I remember that we used to always, because we had phones that plugged into the wall, into the power, like two-line phones with all these features on them. And, of course, those would go out when the power went out. But we always kept one non-electric phone that just plugged into the phone jack. We always made sure we had one of those in the house so that if the power went out, our phones still work. But that's not true anymore, is it?
Well, let's talk about the so we're here at the Online Tonight Palatial Studios in Southern California, and if you look at your desk right next to you, Miss Victoria, on the right-hand side, you'll see a two-line phone. And it can be plugged into the wall. However, if the power goes out, you should still be able to pick up line 1 and you will get dial tone and power from the phone company. They have power banks and they actually provide power to ring the ringer and things like that on there. So even if you have a powered phone, depending on the type of phone, obviously a cordless phone isn't going to work because the base station doesn't have power. That's not going to work. But if you have a physical RJ11 into your solid phone, even if it doesn't have power for some of those other things like the blinky voicemail light or the caller ID display or whatever, you could still pick up the phone in an emergency and get power. At least that's the way it used to be in the old days. So I got to give you a little history first. Back in the old days, you would get a pair of cables. Two copper lines would come into your home and would be attached to a distribution panel, which would then work with all of those outlets that you mentioned, the little RJ11s. They're smaller than like an Ethernet connection. They're a tiny bit. They usually have anywhere from 2 to 6 wires in them. And that went directly to the wire center, or went directly to the phone company's primary central location in your town, where they would terminate those wires, connect them to power, so that when you got a ring, it would send a voltage down there, so the little bell inside your phone would go off, or the buzzer would buzz, and then it would be connected inside the wire center to the switch, so that when you dialed the dial tones, it would know how to route you to wherever you wanted to go. That's how it used to be. You used to get physical wires into your home. Well, now that a lot of these providers, especially once competitive companies came, like the cable companies came, they didn't have access to the copper. So they had to put phones on top of their internet service that was riding over their cable. And even Fios or AT&T Fiber and some of these other companies said, well, we're not going to use the copper anymore because it's limited in bandwidth. We want to have this big bandwidth pipe into your home. And so we will add to our little router what they call a POTS line, or a plain old telephone service line, but it's actually riding over the internet. And so if the power to that router or that little device goes out, there it has no way of translating your phone information over the internet to the final destination, because there's no power to run the internet service. If in some cases, I don't know where you are in New Hampshire, Barb, but in some cases you can, if you got your internet from your normal telephone provider and it's part of a bundle, you could say to them, hey, I need to make sure, because I have an elderly person or I'm overly sensitive about 911, I need my phone service to be terminated on original copper lines so that I have power in case of an outage. Recently, I had a relative who got 5 banks of batteries to plug his router into. The problem is that at the outside of his house, he has another box that doesn't have batteries. So if the power goes out, yes, the router will be on and you pick up the phone and you'll get dial tone. But when you try to type in a number, it can't get past the box that's on the outside of the house that has no power. So you can ask your carrier in some cases, do you still offer traditional copper wire phone lines? And if so, those are what I want, because then power and the ringing and all that stuff is going to come from the phone company, from their wire center, and it won't matter if you have power in your house or not. Hopefully that answered your question, Barb. If you have any follow-up, feel free to email us again, show@onlinetonight.com. Some services aren't even available anymore. We used to be able to get ISDN around here, and that's been canceled, but, you know, what can you do? Technology changes things. Online Tonight. Stay tuned.
On the air live tonight, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546 is the number.
Online Tonight. Now stay tuned for a commercial break and 28 minutes of dead air.
Where the quality of our answers just might surprise you. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
It is Max. It is 35 minutes past the hour, or 25 minutes towards the hour, depending on how you like to look at things. I am interested in vehicles, and one of my favorite vehicles, of course, is the DeLorean. I like the Ferrari from Weird Science and the Scent of a Woman. And, of course, I like the Lamborghinis from Miami Vice. I always wanted a Lamborghini, but I'm not sure if I want this Lamborghini because, as I mentioned, I am concerned about I have range anxiety. However, this particular Lamborghini that came out, they showed it off in Miami at a car show in November, and they said it's going to be their last purely gas-powered supercar. And they are, let me give you a little bit of the stats before I give you the name, because I'll probably butcher the name. They're only going to make about 1,500 of these, or 1,499 of them. They're going to cost anywhere between $260,000 to $275,000, depending on the market, of course. The United States pricing and available have not been announced yet. But it is called the Lamborghini Huracan Sturato, and I'm not Italian, so I probably slaughtered that, and I apologize. But what makes this car more interesting than other Lamborghinis that you've seen in the past is that it seems to ride a little bit higher. It seems to be able to handle not just the asphalt, but some dirt roads. So it is a little more sturdy. It has some other interesting little changes so that you can, not that you would take this off-road. I mean, it's not like a Jeep, but they're saying that it's not just for the asphalt or the concrete or the, you know, the fast superhighways or the tracks. Now, Lamborghini has said that they are going, previously have said that their future supercars will all be plug-in hybrids, which will have electric motors in addition to gasoline engines. And that I can live with. If they go pure electric, I'm definitely out of the market. Not that I'm really in the market for a Lamborghini, but you know, one that if I won that $1 billion or $2 billion in the lottery, which I continue to play, I might consider buying myself a Lamborghini. But I want one that's got the cool doors. I was disappointed when I went to a car show not too long ago and it had what I would call normal doors. I don't want normal doors. I want something fancy. If I'm going to be spending six-plus figures on a car, I want it to have doors that are slightly different than my Camry. You know what I mean? So that's where I'm at there. And, of course, because it's a Lamborghini, it's got a lot of technology in it. It's got the digital display, and it's got all of the things and comforts that you would expect from a Lamborghini. Our friend Brian Cooley over at CNET, speaking of electric cars, has the top five best-selling electric cars of 2022. And I'm only going to give you the first four, and I'm going to let you head over to Brian Cooley's article at CNET.com to find out what number one is. But coming in at number five with 20,000 U.S. sale units is the Chevy Bolt, B-O-L-T-E-V-E-V-U. EUV, excuse me. Coming in at number four is the Tesla Model S. They sold 23,000 of those. Coming in at number three is the Ford Mustang Mach-E. Had 28,000 of those sold here in the U.S. And coming in at number two is Tesla Model 3. They sold 156,000 of those here in the U.S. And the number one car, I'm sure you can probably guess what it is, but again, I will let you head over to CNET.com and check out Brian Cooley's top five electric vehicles of 2022. They sold 191,000 of them in the United States, and you can probably guess what the answer is, but again, I will let you go and read the article over there. The other thing that I found interesting was that Brian did take a couple minutes to compare the Hyundai, Kia, their sister companies. Apparently, Hyundai bought a majority stake in Kia, and if you count their U.S. EV numbers, they would actually take over for the Ford Mustang, which came in at number three. So an interesting read over there if you're interested in electric vehicles. Excuse me. The 2024 Corvette E-Ray was leaked. And that is something that you might be interested in. The Corvette, I really like the styling of the latest Corvette. It looks really, really, really neat. But what happened was, accidentally, if you headed over to Chevrolet's Corvette configurator, the 2024 Corvette E-Ray accidentally popped up It's a hybrid car. It accidentally popped up in the configurator, and some people were able to check it out and get some screenshots of it. It took over. The normal Corvette, and it looks like it's going to be a pretty interesting car. And I will definitely want to see that at the auto show, and we'll let you know what my thoughts are on that when we get a chance. Now, I have a relative that is, let's say, cautious about riding the rails. They don't like to get in trains. I'm fascinated by trains. I even have a train set. I used to have a train set up in the garage that had a pulley system so that you could lower it from the ceiling and put down the little legs. And it had, you know, like little trees and little buildings and a bridge and all that stuff. So trains don't seem to bother me. But I am very curious about going to countries like China and Japan to check out some of the super fast trains, and I thought I would share with you a couple of these trains. The problem is I'm not going to be able to pronounce them. But the Shanghai Maglev, which is in China, that train goes 286 miles per hour. The CR400, also in China, that one goes 217 miles per hour. And apparently the I gave you number one first. I should have done this in a reverse order, shouldn't I? So the fastest train currently in normal service goes 286 miles per hour, and that's in China. The slowest fast train that I see is, let's go down to number 10 here real quick and just have a peek. It is a train in Saudi Arabia. It's called the High Speed Railway, and it goes 186 miles an hour. So if you're interested in trains or fast trains, you might want to check that out. More in car news, if you are a fan of Ferrari, I prefer the stylings of like the 328, the 344s, the Mondial Cabriolet, those types of Ferraris. I have never been a fan of their, I don't like the Mondial regular because the convertible is what makes it interesting to me. The normal sedan looking one that doesn't make my blood boil, so to speak. The new 2023 Ferrari Puro Sangue, I don't know how to pronounce it, is more of a like an two-door SUV. It's kind of like stocky. It doesn't have the same kind of, you know, Ferrari lines that you might be used to. But they are adding some interesting technology where they have a wire body kit now available that's made entirely out of carbon fiber. It lowers the weight by a significant amount of money, a significant amount of pounds, and should help you with some gas mileage. It looks pretty interesting if you are into that type of vehicle. Again, I like the lower profile, sportier looking ones. This one to me kind of looks more like the Porsche SUV, but it's made by Ferrari. In other news, let's see what else. NASA apparently has been testing a new helicopter that has broken its own record. It is the helicopter Ingenuity that you may or may not know was on Mars, and they've been testing it over the last several months. And I mean, it's I think it took its first flight like a year ago, but they've really been trying to push it a little bit more. It is a 4-pound chopper, and it has taken its 35th flight last week, and it reached a new altitude, which it hadn't before, of almost 50 feet. Now that sounds not that high, but considering we're trying to control this thing from how many millions of miles away and things like that, it is pretty interesting. And as they continue to push it and get it to go farther, it's going to be able to take more and more pictures of the planet and to check those things out. It is a, let's see, I have a quote from them. It says, "These sample recovery helicopters with wheels instead of feet and a small manipulator arm with two-fingered gripper will be able to carry precious material in sample tubes that they can then collect and bring back for testing, I guess, in one of the rovers. A more capable Mars science helicopter with the ability to carry almost 5 kilograms is also something that's currently in conceptual and design stages. So they're really looking for these tests on Mars to see what they might be able to do and what type of environment it has to live in so that they can create something even better and deliver it later so that they can get more scientific data. All of this, of course, helps with the dream that someday we will send people to Mars and create a town. So that that might be interesting. And I think, like, at one point, Elon Musk or one of these other companies were even taking a volunteer list. If you wanted to go on a one-way trip to Mars, you could put your name on a list. I think you had to meet certain criteria, like be smart and in shape. So that probably discounts half of the people that I know. Anyway, let us know what you think. 1-800-39-ONLINE. It's online tonight. I'm Max. Stay tuned. Bookmark this. This is where we share with you a website or a web app that will help you in some way, hopefully. And I would say at this time of the year, especially if you're going to be doing any holiday travels, you can use the same website that I use. There's also an app called GasBuddy.com. We use this all the time to find out who the cheapest gas is around our area. And it's not just unleaded. We also use it to find diesel for the RV, especially in Southern California, where we broadcast out of. The cost of gas has been a little bit crazy lately, and we love to compare our gas stations and how far we might have to drive to save as much as 50 cents a gallon. And Gas Buddy makes that possible. Again, there is an iOS app and I believe an Android app, or you can just go to the website gasbuddy.com. Now, if you have an account with them, you can actually update some of the cost information. So as you go there, it will prompt you and say, is this an accurate price, or did the price go up or down since you visited? I don't really do that, and you don't have to be a member or have an account on there to benefit from it. We are constantly comparing Sam's Club, Costco, and Arco in our area to see who has the best gas prices, but this is a national service. So if you're on the East Coast and they have a Texaco or a BP, or I don't know what some of the other brands are. What are some of the other gas company brands over on the East Coast that you were, like, aware of?
It's been so long.
Is Texaco still a thing?
It wasn't really a thing where I lived. I mean, I think we had Arco before you had it here on the West Coast, because it was Atlantic Richfield. It came from the East Coast. And then we had Gulf.
Oh, okay, Gulf.
And Exxon.
Okay. And then we used to have Valero. I'll let you get back to what you were doing. And then we used to have Valero and some other Speedy Gas and things like that. There's always, you know, other different places. And if you want to find the best places to get gas at the cheapest prices, especially during this holiday time, check out this hour's bookmark this, gasbuddy.com. Online tonight.
Where beauty is only a dimmer switch away, this is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
Remember, you can always give us a call, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546 is our toll-free telephone number. Email show at onlinetonight.com. You can text 951-395-1017, and we will be happy to take your questions, your comments, suggestions about items, whether it's pop culture, tech, video games, etc. Something that I found interesting, and I saw this in my local paper, and I thought I would just share this with you to help you out during this holiday season, because I don't want anybody to lose something that they want, especially if it's in their own home. I got a new garage door opener that has a feature called MyQ on it. And it is a app that allows you to open or close your garage door remotely. But more importantly for me, it allows me to see if the garage door is open unexpectedly. I can even set an announcement that says if the door is open for more than half an hour or an hour, I'll get a notification that says, hey, did you know your garage door is open? Why is this important? Well, apparently a house not too far from my residence had all of their power tools stolen in the middle of the night because the daughter left or went out to get the trash or to check the mail or something. And then when they came back in, the daughter did not close the garage door and therefore had been open all night, and they lost some very valuable product from their garage. So I thought I would give you some high-tech and some low-tech ways to protect yourself. The highest-tech way, of course, is to get a MyQ type of garage door opener so that you can be notified or have the ability to remotely check to see if your garage door is open or closed. Another way you can do that is to add motion sensing security lights and cameras that are aimed at the driveway so that as people come and go from your driveway, you can get them on camera, or the light can come on and maybe just that enough will get thieves to leave. Now, a couple quick tips of like low-tech methods, things that you could think about is that there are scanners out there that thieves can use to get your code. So when you take your car into a service center, just grab that remote if it's not integrated into your dashboard or into your rearview mirror. But if you have a separate remote that opens and closes your garage door, just grab that and put that in your bag or put that in your backpack or put that in your purse. So if you take it to like the oil place or your dealer to get service, then go ahead and put that in there. If you're overly paranoid, while you're at the mall, as an example, you can put your garage door opener in your bag and take that with you so that if anybody breaks into your car, I recommend you don't leave your registration in there either, because that's got your home address and you've given them your home address and your garage door opener. That's not a good idea. So you could take those things with you. Two other quick tips is some people have been using coat hangers to grab that emergency release. Just cut that either really short or take it all the way down and then get yourself a coat hanger so that you can pull it in an emergency, and that way somebody from outside can't do it. Just little tips to keep you safe during the holidays, especially with people coming in through your garage door. There are several ways to protect yourself. We appreciate you here at Online Tonight. We want you to head over to our website, onlinetonight.com, where you can check out all the show notes, all of the bookmark. This is our listed there. We have our podcast. We'd love for you to subscribe to it. If you missed any portion of the show, you can always get it there. It's Online Tonight. Stay tuned.